If you're paying attention to the news or you're engaged, we are living in interesting times, are we not? You think about all these people that Bill has mentioned throughout history, throughout the scriptures, but none of them have lived in the moment we're living in, right? None of them have dealt with social media or media in general, global travel, global payment methods. I mean, it's a whole different world, isn't it? I was reflecting this week a little bit on the Lord of the Rings series. We've got Lord of the Rings fans in here, hopefully, yeah? I don't accept the Rings of Power TV show, not the new one. I don't, okay? What I'm talking about is the books, which those are really old things. They're paper, they're bound with a cover. The books, okay? Or I will accept the movie series from the early 2000s, the trilogy. I'm going to put a picture up here of young Frodo and Gandalf. If you don't know Lord of the Rings, Frodo, right, he's embarked on a quest. He's trying to destroy this ring of power. He's got to traverse difficult landscapes to get to Mount Doom in Mordor, where he is hopefully going to throw this evil ring into the fiery lava and destroy it. So it's about that quest, and that quest proves to be an extremely difficult one, met with lots of opposition. And there's a critical moment in the movie, in the Fellowship of the Ring in particular, or in the books. Frodo is lamenting the burden of this quest, particularly how hard it is in their day. And so he says to Gandalf, Frodo says, "Man, I wish it need not have happened in my time. I wish it need not have happened in my time." And Gandalf, the older, wiser wizard, he responds to Frodo's lament about the difficulty of their quest, and he says this. He says, "So do I, Frodo, and so do all who live to see such times, but that is not for them to decide. All we have to decide is what we do with the time that is given to us. All we have to do is decide what to do with the time that is given to us." Gandalf, right, he's effectively saying, man, it does you no good to focus on things that you can't change. What matters is what you do with the time and circumstances that you've been placed in. And so that's what I want to just end and encourage us with this morning, that God has sovereignly, providentially decreed that you and I would live in this cultural moment in history. That you and I would inhabit this place at this time in this culture with your upbringing, with the finances and education that you have, with the churches that you've been involved with, or this church family. God has sovereignly decreed that you and I would live in this moment in world history. None of that is a mistake. None of that is a surprise to God. You should have heard from Bill. It's part of the plan. It is plan A. You are plan A for reaching the nations, reaching this place. God foreknew. He planned it for you to be alive and facing the exact challenges that you and I go through each and every day. God chose to entrust this mission that he's been carrying out through all of history to you and to me. It's our turn to take it's our turn to take the baton. It's our moment. It's our time to come together and remember and refocus on Sundays, but then go out and advance the mission the rest of our days. You know, as Bill walked through the scriptures, you know, it makes me see where we fit within God's plan. And, you know, the patriarchs like Joshua and Daniel in the Old Testament, they have come and gone. They're now in eternity. And Jesus came and he had 12 apostles that served him faithfully, and they all were persecuted and martyred, and they're dead and gone. And if you know some church history, there's been some heroes of the Christian faith. Augustine and Thomas Aquinas and Justin Martyr, or reformers like John Calvin and Martin Luther and Ulrich Zwingli, or more modern theologians and pastors, John Bunyan, Jonathan Edwards, David Brainerd, Jim Elliot, Charles Spurgeon. These are heroes. They came, they lived and served faithfully, but now they're dead. They're gone. More recently in our American history, Billy Graham and Tim Keller and John Stott, These men came and they wrote books, they preached sermons, they gathered huge amounts of people. They saw many people get saved, but they have come and gone. They made an impact in the moment they were given, but our message to you as a church this morning is, this is your moment. It's your turn. You're next in the family line. You're to take the baton that the heroes of the past have handed to us and run your race. It makes me think of the passage in Hebrews, right? Hebrews 12. I'm going to put it up on the screen for you. Therefore, since you are surrounded by that great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings to us so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Let us run the race that is set before us. Bill covered some of it, but in Jesus' last words there in Acts, before he ascended into heaven in Acts 1:8, he told them, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth. It's going to start here, Jesus said, but it's not meant to stay here. Just like we gather here on Sundays, it's not meant to stay here. What we talk about and the things we talk about, how the scripture changes our lives, that doesn't stay here. It's to go out to our city, to our state, across our country, and as Acts 1:8 says, to the ends of the earth. God is inviting you. He wants you to participate, just like Abraham and all those in the scriptures before you and I. God's inviting you to participate in the mission. I'm not going to cover it because Bill just covered it, but Acts chapter 2 gives you a picture of the early church and the many ways that they were involved. That's what God did in the book of Acts. He added to their number daily, and we are no different. Their call is an example to us that we're to be unified, generous, on mission together. They gave of their time and their talents and their treasure together so that God would be glorified as they reached the nations. In the following chapters of Acts, one of the most inspiring passages to me was not from any Christians, but from some of their persecutors. And we covered it last summer, if you were here, but Christians were scattering all across the Roman Empire. They disrupted the very fabric of Roman culture to the point where we got to in Acts 17, we heard this line in Acts 17, verse 6. These men who have turned the world upside down have also come here. God is in the business of turning the sinful world upside down. And the means he's using are ordinary people like you and like me. You're the means that God is going to use to change the world for good, to redeem it, to restore it. God is asking you, he's inviting you, will you go? Will you come on mission with me? It's God's mission. It's been carried down through the generations. We see proof of that here's one proof. 2.4 billion people on this planet would call themselves Christians. Now, we could debate if that's real or not, but it proves the point that God's word has scattered globally to where now 2.4 people identify as Christ followers. So it's amazing on the one hand. On the other hand, that means 5.7 billion people live on this planet who do not recognize Jesus as their Lord, at a minimum. 5.7 billion people. That's the baton that's been handed to you and I. That's the mission that you and I have been entrusted with. If you have gotten to know Rachel and I, you've heard maybe that we lived overseas for a time. We were involved with missions. And just a quick glimpse in how that started for me. When I was younger, a new believer, a couple years after I came to faith, I was 18, 19 years old and found myself leading a trip of youth age kids. We were going to Athens, Greece. It was with a group called World Changers. They do construction type trips where they maybe rehab a building or build a building, and that's what we were doing. We were building portable buildings to be Sunday school classes for a church that had outgrown their facility, which was crazy that I was there. I don't know how to build anything, but anyway. I was there nonetheless. And in God's providence, at the same time, as a new believer, I was involved with a Bible study with the youth pastor and a couple other guys. We were just going section by section through the book of Romans. And it just so happened that during the week that I was on the trip, we were studying Romans 10 together in this year-long Bible study through Romans. And so while I was in Greece, I'm reading Romans 10 after we had finished our work for the day. We're back at our place where we're staying. And I'm reading Romans 10. And man, Paul is summarizing very clearly in Romans 10 that salvation is by faith alone. He makes that super clear. You can receive salvation in Jesus by faith. So let me read, for example, Romans 10, 9 to 13. It says, "If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Super clear, right? Paul is making it clear. Salvation is by faith. And I am reading that passage in Athens, Greece, and I'm meditating on it. I'm sitting outside. It's a nice evening. And it is dusk, but it's turning to dark. You know what I mean? And I'm just staring. We're on the outskirts, but there's a mountain off in the distance. And there's a little bundle of lights, you know, glimmering on the mountain that I'm just kind of staring at as I'm pondering on this and as it's getting dark. Similar to how you might look at Duluth, you know, across the water, a hillside with clearly a city there on the side of it. And so I'm reflecting on this passage. Salvation is by faith alone. That was new to me relatively as a new believer. And I felt like I understood it, and so I said, all right, let me keep going. And I got to the very next verse, Romans 10, 14 and 15. "How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent, as it is written? How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news." That was God's providence in my life, that I was sitting there looking at that hillside, lighting up and at the as it got dark that evening. And that verse struck me in a way that not many have. You know, we all have those moments in our life. And I just remember hearing those verses resound in my head as I looked at that city on the hill and thinking, man, how are those people, how are they ever, ever going to call upon the name of Jesus unless someone goes? I mean, how is it going to happen? God can work through miracles and dreams, no doubt, but it seems to me throughout world history, the main way he chooses to work is that someone goes and tells them about Jesus. And I'm looking at this hill thinking, man, who's going to go? Who would come over here just for that purpose? Who would tell them the beautiful news of forgiveness and acceptance that is offered in Jesus? I mean, I think that was the Holy Spirit's way in that moment for me, where I felt the Holy Spirit yearn from inside saying, man, I'll do it. I would go. I mean, at the time I was young, I was single, I had nothing else going on, you know. Why not me? Like, I can go do it. I'm here right now. I could be here longer, you know. I can go. Now, that was really the beginning of what ended up being mostly 12 years predominantly involved in advancing the gospel in other nations. But here's why I tell you that story. It's not about me and my calling to missions. What that story means to me, it really solidified in my heart and soul, is that there is a lost world out there, right? There's a lost world. People are dying every day, and they're going to spend eternity separated from God unless you and I, unless we pick up the baton we've been handed and we run the race that is set before us. As you think about the people in your neighborhood, in your family, in Superior, Duluth, the Twin Ports, and Minnesota, Wisconsin, or the U.S. or around the world, how in the world are they going to hear unless you go and tell them? How are they going to hear unless you, maybe you can't go, but you send somebody else to go? And how will those who are sent know that they're cared for and supported unless we support them and pray for them? This is what Missions Sunday is about, is to remind our church body that at Rock Hill, man, we are committed to carrying our baton. We're committed to doing our part. Now, you heard from Bill the numerous ways you can be involved. There's things we do. We connect, we engage, we equip, we pray. We want to give you one simple thing that you can start to do right now, and I think it's just increasing your awareness and knowledge. So what we're going to do, he mentioned this book in his sermon. This is called Window on the World. It's done by Operation World. It is a really beautiful, kind of a coffee table style book. Each page is a different people group or a different country. And this is a way that Rock Hill Global wants to encourage us to maybe take this home and flip through it, read a page a day or a page a week and pray through it. Maybe pray through it with your city group. But I think it's just one way that we can start to steep our minds in, man, God is big and diverse and beautiful in that diversity, right? And he has called us to be praying, to be actively involved. And so we have a free copy of this to give to each family unit today, or if you're single, you can have one as well, but just one per family. And those will be back there on the back as you exit. If you will take that and commit to pray through it, that is a gift from Rock Hill Global to you. And so that's one way we're going to get involved. And over the course of the next year, you're going to hear more ways that we're going to encourage how you can pray, how you can support. And of course, I hope you attend tonight where you can hear directly from the missionaries that we do support through your faithful giving already. And so those are just a couple of ways that we're going to get involved in this really big task that God has for us, doesn't it? It's a huge task. But man, I believe that God can use you and I. I've seen God use ordinary people around the world to do extraordinary things, to turn the world upside down, just like he did in Acts. So this is our moment. You could question, why do we live where we live? Why do we live in this crazy time? How are we possibly going to reach 7 billion people? But as Gandalf said, right, that's not for you and I to decide. All we have to decide is what we do with the time that is given us. That's our hope for you today, that we would carry the baton, run your race, and be a part of God's mission. Would you pray with me as we close?